Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Following the success of their best-selling book, Womanomics, Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman provide an informative and practical guide to understanding the importance of confidence and learning how to achieve it for women of all ages and at all stages of their career. Working women today are better educated and more well-qualified than ever before, yet men still predominate in the corporate world. In The Confidence Code, Claire Shipman and Caddy Kay argue that the key reason is confidence. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman to the program. Caddy Kay is the Washington, D.C. anchor for BBC World News America. Claire Shipman, co-correspondent for ABC News and Good Morning America. Thank you both for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
So, Caddy, let us begin with you of how this book, I assume, somehow came out of Womanomics.
Yes, it did. You know, we were, during the course of Womanomics, we would interview lots of very influential women in business and in politics in America. And we kept hearing this recurring theme, this sense of self-doubt. Women who would say to us, you know, when I'm in a meeting, I feel like a fraud, or I'm not sure I really deserve that promotion I got, or maybe I'm not the best person that they could have chosen to run this high-profile project. And it seemed to us really strange that here were these women who were incredibly talented, very well educated, very competent at what they were doing, but somehow didn't quite feel that they deserved to be at the top table. And then we started to investigate what that sense of self-doubt was, and it led us to this really quite broad study of confidence, what it is, where it comes from, and how critical it is for success, and why women have less of it.
And Claire, when you talk about that investigation, it really has a lot to do with the science of how women are hardwired.
Well, that surprised us in a lot of ways, because we thought, look, we need to look at where confidence comes from, and we'll dive into biology and neuroscience and genetics. But really, I think we both thought, oh, a lot of confidence is upbringing. And so either people have had this sort of great experience and they're confident, or they're not. And really, we didn't think there was much either change in that or much to do about it. But first of all, we were really surprised to find that there are a number of scientists, researchers who really believe now that confidence is somewhere between 25 and 50% inherited. In other words, we're born with a certain level of confidence thanks to our genetic code. There's not a confidence gene, but there are a lot of genes that contribute to a kind of confidence cocktail. We even did our genetic testing and found that we don't have highly confident genes. So we've overcome a lot. But we also found that beyond the genetics, which is not really a gender-driven thing, that biologically men and women are wired differently in certain ways. There's just certain, it's incredibly controversial, but it's true. Our brains, to some extent, work differently. For example, they're affected differently by testosterone and estrogen. We have different, you know, women often spend more time in our prefrontal cortex, which makes us more cautious. And that can sometimes impede our confidence. So there are just certain realities we're dealt to start out with, and that's something that we really didn't expect to find.
I thought it was fascinating in the book that in that chapter on Wired for Confidence, you talk about strength through sensitivity, which comes out of monkey studies.
Yes. The monkeys. That was a great trip. There's just a fantastic scientist who works for the NIH, Steve Suomi, who's out in Maryland, and has studied monkeys for decades. And he's been in a position to study their behavior and the impact of nurture on these young monkeys for a long time. But then finally, when the science was there and the genetic tests were there and the data on things, for example, like there's one gene, a serotonin transporter gene, that started to look like it really controlled a lot of personality aspects, for example, anxiety, and therefore confidence on the flip side. He was able to then do genetic testing on his monkeys and figure out, okay, you know, these monkeys who've been anxious their whole lives, you know, how were they wired? And so he was really able to work backwards in a way that is quite unique and draw some very interesting conclusions. And he found that not only are monkeys hardwired to some extent, he also found something that we thought was really hopeful, that mothers have an incredible ability to change that as well, to with nurture reshape these monkeys' destiny. So that was exciting for us.
Yeah, one of the things he did, Joe, was that he took anxious monkeys, baby monkeys that had the anxiety gene, and he put them with mothers who were very calm and nurturing. And that's, I mean, obviously you can't do this with human beings, which is why the testing's being done on these rhesus monkeys. But the results were extraordinary. He found that if you take an anxious baby monkey and you put it with a confident mother, the baby monkey can thrive and can grow up more confident and grow up really to be a star in the pack. And I think, you know, that's some of the most cutting-edge research that we're looking at.
And talk a little bit, Katie, about just when you take on a project like this, you have to agree on a definition of what confidence is, right?
Yeah, and we almost spent a whole chapter in the book on the definition of confidence, because I think a lot of people have, including ourselves, frankly, when we started this project, had a misperception of what confidence is. And once we started to look at the confidence gap between men and women, where confidence comes from, we really felt that if we were going to help women grow their confidence, we would do a much better job if we came up with a definition, a real understanding of what confidence is. And so we started asking the experts, the psychologists in universities around the country and actually around the world, who make the study of confidence their life's work. And it was amazing. We'd ask this question in every single interview. So, what is confidence? And we'd always be met with a pause and pretty much the same answer. Well, it's complicated. Because confidence is not the same as self-esteem. It's not the same as optimism. It's not exactly the same as self-efficacy, but it has elements of all of those. So in the end, we came to our own definition, working with psychologists, on what confidence is. And confidence is very action-oriented. Confidence is the quality that lets you turn your thoughts into action. It's the quality that lets you think you can succeed at something. And it's very focused on achieving results. Now, that doesn't mean achieving necessarily career results. It could be results in sports. It could be results socially. It could be results running for your local PTA. But it's definitely about action, and it's possible to have confidence in one area of your life and not have confidence in another area of your life. It's why, for example, somebody like Andre Agassi believed he was a good tennis player, a great tennis player, but was pretty much an emotional wreck in much of the rest of his life. And I think that's what, you know, confidence in that respect is very different from self-esteem, which is a broad sense that you have value and worth and are a worthwhile human being.
And Katie, don't you think, I thought that the tagline, the Atlantic, Joe, has excerpted the book, and they had a tagline that we just both thought was brilliant, which also boils down this notion of what is confidence to all of us, and it's, he thinks he can, she thinks she can't. So yeah. it's a mindset, really, about your belief in your, you know, that your ability to get things done.
Does it put into your mind, and I assume that you thought about it well before this book, but Claire, do you get a sense of looking at your own level of confidence and how that has changed over time?
Well, it was startling when Katie and I started examining our own. Embarrassing, because, you know, there's so many things in our lives we all examine and think we could do better, but we didn't really understand that many of the things women do naturally throughout our lives are an example of just not strong enough confidence. And so I started to realize that when people would often say to me, because as a very young reporter, I was in Moscow and had some terrific opportunities there. But whenever people say, wow, that's so great, you did this, you did that, and I invariably say, well, I was really lucky. I was at the right place at the right time, and I just am so prone to you know, humility and just never taking credit for anything and thinking everything was luck. And I started to realize, that's so interesting. It's very hard for me to give myself credit for having achieved anything. And what I realized is that's not just a transactional problem in terms of other people's perception of me. The real issue is that it's affecting my own perception of me. Because then then the next challenge that's out there, I haven't really given myself any pats on the back, and I don't feel confident always about my ability to take on a new challenge.
And Katty, you said it was embarrassing taking a look at that.
Yeah, I think so, because partly as Claire said, when we had our genes tested, well, I for one kind of misread how my genes would come out, and I thought I would have more confident genes, frankly, than I do, because I'm a pretty confident person. But when I got these gene test results back again, and they showed me that really, when it comes to confidence, I'm kind of a basket case genetically, it made me realize something, Joe, which is that the confidence I have to take on new challenges is something that I have built myself during the course of my life. And in a way, that is the conclusion that we come to in the confidence code, that yes, confidence is partly genetic, something like 25%. But you can choose to test yourself, to push yourself, to work at things, to take risks, to risk failure in ways that you can actually build your own confidence. And I think that's what Claire and I have both done. Just like Claire, during the course of my life, I have spent far too much time saying I was lucky, in the right place at the right time. I've been successful in the United States because I have a British accent. You know, I found excuses. And the trouble is that undermines your confidence and stops you taking on challenges. So I think Claire and I have both overcome a bad genetic hand by making choices. And that's really what we hope the confidence code will do for other women, because there is a confidence gap between men and women, a serious confidence gap. And it is part of what is holding us back professionally. It's, we think, one of the biggest reasons that women haven't broken the glass ceiling to the extent that our education suggests we deserve. And we need to change that. And if we can change that by showing women that this is a choice that you can make, that you can work at it, that you can build your confidence, then that's what we hope the Confidence Code will do.
The name of the book is The Confidence Code. Katty Kay and Claire Shipman are our guests. You use a term in the book, which I'm hoping, Claire, you will tell me a little more about, and that is fast failure. I mean, you talk about the importance of more action and risk taking and fast failure, which would indicate you get over the failures quick.
This was key, and I think Katty is so right about the notion that the exciting part of our research for us, and it took us a while to get there, but that there's this hopeful nature about confidence too, because a big part of it we found really is volitional, and I want to just add that that's science based too, and that was very exciting, because what we really found was that in addition to all this genetic and brain wiring and all of that, brain plasticity is the impact of that is astounding, and it's, you know, scientists are discovering more about it really every day. Neuroscience is just heavily focused on it. And what does it mean? It means that people our age can literally create new pathways in our brain that make thinking differently a habit. And I think that is the key when we talk about something like fast failure. Because what has happened is, beyond whatever we've been given from birth, women especially and little girls, they're just not raised to get comfortable with failure and risk-taking. They're raised now to believe they can do anything, right? There's nobody telling them they have to stay in a box. But they're achieving at a level that's just all about perfection. And in school, that works. I think Carol Dweck said to us, and it really was just reset some of our thinking. She said, if life were one long grade school, women would rule the world. But it's not, and life doesn't work the way school works. And so all this effort on never getting anything wrong, never failing, never making anyone mad, never screwing up, you know, it seems great, and it's great for parents, but it's not so great when you're 22, and that's not the way the world works. And so, you know, women have got to get comfortable with failure. And what we like about the concept of fast failure is it's just sort of a techie buzz phrase now, which is just that nobody has time for spending 5 years on a project and then seeing whether it's going to fail. That there's this notion now that to get to success, you have to have a lot of small failures. And so we think for women, it's a more palatable way to embrace failure, right? Look at it as a success, and it's not a, you know, not a massive failure. But get used to it, because you learn from it, and you learn to take risks, and that increases your confidence.
Katty, where do you think men come into this equation, in the sense of there are the genetics, there's the culture, but what do you think that men can do to create an environment to increase that level of confidence and to help women more in the workforce?
And that's a really interesting question. And it is critical, I think, for the general success of all our organizations, whether it is in politics or in business or in the military or in sports, that we have more women at the top. And in a sense, once men are fully on board with that, and we have multiple studies now that show that businesses that have more senior women make more money, once you get men on board with that, you can start having the conversation about how do you get there? How do you make sure that women's voices are heard? And it's not a suggestion that men should always defer to women or treat them with kid gloves, but I think even the knowledge that sometimes women work differently and sometimes a woman's consensual nature might mean she's not always the first to jump in with a question at the meeting, that it doesn't come as naturally to her to dominate a meeting or a conversation as it might do to a guy. I think some sensitivity towards that will help organizations. It won't just help the woman, but I think the critical thing here is that it will help the organization, and that will help the guys in the organization too.
Claire, how did the two of you come to work together?
We were colleagues in Washington, and both of us reporters. Gosh, Katty, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago now. It's been a while, right? I feel like it reminds me of my marriage. How long have we been married again? I can't remember. But we met through a mutual friend at a party. We just started to talk because we realized that we both had a very similar sensibility about our jobs, which were, you know, on the surface, exciting and in reality quite demanding, and that sometimes we would both compare notes about how we wish we weren't on air the next day, and we wish we could, you know, not be on television as much, which is what in fact spawned Womenomics and the idea that, you know, women often want to work differently. And so we just hit it off as friends and colleagues, and then I'll tell you, there's nothing like writing a book together to really cement a relationship, or maybe end one, people have told us, but
yes,
it worked in the opposite way for us.
But you know what's interesting, Joe, is several friends of mine have said to me, wow, you're crazy to write a book with a friend, you'll never speak to her again, you know, that will be the end of your relationship. And actually, Claire and I go on holiday together with our families. We've become better friends, I think, through working together. And I think this is something that women do really well, is that we are able to take our egos out of the equation, and we just want to get the best job done that we can. So we never had a moment where one of us would change a sentence that somebody else had written and we'd bear a grudge about it. We just, you know, we wanted to be effective, we wanted to be efficient, and we wanted to get this job done. And I think we work really well together.
Because the two of you are on television, because the two of you are seen and noticed, people will look up to you. And is that in the back of your mind that you are a role model in some way, shape, or form when it comes to this confidence code?
Well, yes. I think I'm aware of that. I'm much more aware of it now. And we do, both of us do talk to groups of women, you know, business women, women of just from a lot of different industries and backgrounds about, we have for a couple of years now, about Womenomics and women's issues. And we found as we started talking about confidence that it's a theme that really does resonate. And I think what we found also, Joe, is that for women especially, confidence has an element to it of authenticity about it. And what I found, and I know Katty and I have talked about this, is that when we really are able to relate some of our insecurities, some of our vulnerabilities, and just not worry about putting up a facade that we really connect to people as role models, even more maybe than we might just on a, you know, on a screen doing your typical news report.
Well, the book is fascinating. It is The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. It is published by Harper Business. Katty Kay and Claire Shipman, thank you so much for spending time with us, and best of luck with this project.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. We really appreciate it.
A delight. Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book is The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. It's published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.